What if everything you believed about success was backward? Consider this. The world's most transformative entrepreneurs, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, walked away from the very institutions we're told guarantee success. They didn't fail out, they chose out. This paradox reveals a troubling truth about our education system. It trains children brilliantly for a world that no longer exists. While schools polish students into perfect employees, they systematically ignore the one skill that determines financial freedom: understanding how money actually works. The straight-A students master the art of following rules, climb corporate ladders, and wonder why wealth remains elusive. Meanwhile, the rule breakers, who barely scraped by in chemistry class, are creating the companies those A students work for. Our schools operate on a peculiar assumption that preparing children for jobs is the same as preparing them for financial success. It's not. Think of it this way. We've built an elaborate machine designed to produce employees and bureaucrats, then act surprised when it fails to create entrepreneurs. The evidence isn't subtle. Research shows 80% of Americans dream of owning businesses, yet our educational conveyor belt systematically crushes that instinct, replacing it with the mantra of job security and steady paychecks. The consequences ripple through generations. Since 2007, we've entered what amounts to a new depression, masked by money printing and mounting debt. Youth unemployment climbs. Student loans crush young adults before their careers begin. Meanwhile, schools continue teaching the same curriculum, pretending the economic ground hasn't shifted beneath our feet. Parents wait for schools to address this gap, but here's the uncomfortable reality. Schools won't fix this. They can't. The system wasn't designed to create capitalists. It was designed to create workers. That means financial education falls to you. Your child's first and most important teacher isn't in a classroom. It's you. From birth to age 12, children possess quantum learning. Their brains absorb information effortlessly, forming neural pathways that govern thinking for life. Teaching financial concepts through games like Monopoly during this period creates lasting understanding because the brain doesn't distinguish between play and learning. The second window, ages 12 to 24, brings rebellion. Teens don't want lectures. They want to test boundaries. The strongest teaching tool becomes observation. Let them watch how money works and make small mistakes with low stakes. The third window, ages 24 to 36, reveals whether the first two windows prepared them for reality: marriage, children, mortgages, all the financial realities textbooks can't simulate. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Academic excellence often predicts the opposite of entrepreneurial success. Research tracking high school valedictorians found they excel within systems but rarely transform them. More striking, 33% of the Forbes 400 wealthiest never finished college, yet they averaged $4.8 billion in net worth compared to college graduates' $1.5 billion, a 200% advantage. Schools reward students who avoid mistakes and memorize, while building wealth requires taking calculated risks, learning from failures, and thinking beyond established frameworks. Financial education is transformation, not information. Think of information as water and mindset as the container. Schools pour endless water without considering the container. A cracked glass won't hold water no matter how much you pour. Teaching financial concepts to someone with a poverty mindset accomplishes nothing. Their beliefs, fears, and assumptions determine what information they can actually absorb and use. Listen to how people talk about money. Poverty context: I'll never be rich. Middle class context: I need a secure job. Wealthy context: I must be rich. And freedom matters more than security. These aren't just different opinions, they're different operating systems. You can't run wealth-building software on poverty hardware. This explains why lottery winners often go broke. Understanding this transforms how you teach your children. You're not just explaining compound interest, you're building their financial operating system. This happens through repeated exposure, modeling, and discussing money openly. When you use debt strategically to buy rental property, you're demonstrating a wealthy person's context. When you discuss how taxes work differently for employees versus business owners, you're expanding their context beyond school. Context isn't changed through one conversation. It's transformed through consistent exposure to different ways of thinking about money. Where your income comes from matters more than how much you earn. The cash flow quadrant divides income sources into four categories: E, employee; S, self-employed; B, business owner; and I, investor. The left side, E and S, contains people who trade time for money and pay the highest taxes. The right side, B and I, contains people whose money works for them, paying far lower taxes. Schools exclusively prepare students for the left side, which explains why President Obama paid 20.5% in taxes, while Mitt Romney paid only 14%. Most people choose quadrants based on fear rather than vision. The E quadrant promises security. The S quadrant attracts those who won't delegate. But the S quadrant isn't a business. It's a job you own. Doctors and lawyers in the S quadrant only earn when they work. A true B quadrant business generates revenue whether you're present or not. Moving from left to right requires transforming your relationship with money, risk, and control. The left side values security and individual effort. The right side values freedom and leverage. Success on the right side isn't about being the smartest person. It's about building the smartest team. Colonel Sanders exemplifies this. At 65, after his chicken shop failed, he moved from the S quadrant to the B quadrant, building Kentucky Fried Chicken into a global empire. Everything you've been told about debt is probably wrong. Since 1971, when Nixon removed the dollar from the gold standard, debt and dollars both became promises backed by government assurances. Saving dollars means hoarding depreciating assets, while governments print trillions more. Strategic debt, however, can build wealth faster than any paycheck. The critical distinction: good debt makes you richer, bad debt makes you poorer. Most people use debt for liabilities, student loans that may not pay off, unaffordable mortgages, depreciating vehicles. This debt enslaves them. But debt used to acquire income-producing assets, rental properties, businesses, investments, accelerates wealth building. The wealthy use debt financing to acquire assets that generate cash flow, then use that cash flow to acquire more assets. Consider how banks view your money. Your savings are their liability. Your mortgage is their asset. They pay minimal interest on savings while charging substantial interest on loans. Since dollars are taxed while debt is tax-free, using debt strategically to acquire appreciating, cash-flowing assets makes more financial sense than saving depreciating currency. When you buy rental property using debt, the property generates income, appreciates, provides tax advantages, and tenants pay down your mortgage. You're using other people's money to build wealth while they pay off your debt. This is how the wealthy think about debt, not as a burden, but as a tool. Financial education delivers freedom, generosity, and possibility. Children who understand money gain compounding advantages, transforming ordinary income into passive income with lower taxes, developing emotional intelligence through delayed gratification, and recognizing wealth-building paths beyond school's single trajectory. Financial education enables generosity. Greed stems from insecurity, the fear of scarcity. Understanding wealth creation dissolves this thinking. You become genuinely generous because you know how to generate more. The tax code rewards this. Providing housing, creating jobs, and supporting causes lowers your taxes. Generosity and wealth aren't opposites, they're partners. Financial education also teaches asset protection. The middle class puts everything in their name. The wealthy use corporations and trusts to shield assets from taxation and lawsuits. This isn't hiding wealth. It's using legal tools governments provide to encourage economic activity. The ultimate advantage is choice. Financially educated children can retire young or work forever doing what they love, take career risks with financial cushions, and choose their quadrant rather than accepting the only one schools prepared them for. Financial education isn't about getting rich. It's about having options. The world changes faster than schools adapt. Governments print money to solve debt. Technology eliminates traditional jobs. The old promise, work hard, get good grades, secure a job, retire comfortably, is broken. Your children face financial challenges you never imagined, and schools won't equip them. Start conversations now. Discuss how the wealthy use corporations to reduce taxes. Explain rental properties generating passive income. Demonstrate the difference between assets and liabilities. Each conversation expands their understanding of what's possible and provides frameworks for lifelong financial decisions. The greatest gift isn't money, it's knowledge of how to create it, multiply it, and protect it. That education doesn't happen in classrooms preparing students for the 1950s economy. It starts at home, with you, now. The neural pathways forming today determine their financial reality for decades. Every conversation compounds silently until they make their own decisions. That day, they'll either have tools to thrive or struggle like millions who never learned.